kind words. As Kadambakanna Maharaj said, this is, in one sense, an official duty to offer some praise to the spiritual master or to accept some praise from the disciple. On the other hand, it has a deep meaning. Our Krishna consciousness movement or our spiritual life is descending in a parampara system from the spiritual master to disciple, his disciple, his disciple, and onward. And in one sense, it's simple. The spiritual master follows the instructions of his predecessor and repeats those instructions to the disciple, and that's his job. And on the other hand, there's some mystery in that when we follow this process, Krishna comes to us through the disciplic succession. In one sense, it's not a mystery. Krishna's instructions are absolute. Krishna is absolute. And when we hear the instructions and follow the instructions, then we get to associate with Krishna. So even Prabhupada didn't like very much the word mysticism. Sort of dismissed mysticism. That's for the sahajas and the false incarnation. They all have something mystical going on. And Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness as a process, a simple process, but an authoritative process. As he put it, a science. And when we follow this process, then we get the result. Then we experience our eternal connection with Krishna. We're all eternally connected with Krishna. Every living being has an eternal connection with Krishna. But we forget that connection. And the mission of the acharya, the mission of the spiritual master, is to revive that connection among at least the human beings. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even extended it to the animals. Dina hina yata chilo harinami utari. Uplifting the conditioned souls through the holy name of Krishna and the Sankirtan movement. The process is on one side official and on the other side personal. The spiritual master is not just a just an official. He's more than the approved representative of an institution. The disciple offers his service through to the spiritual master, and it goes up and up and up and up to the lotus feet of Krishna. And mercy comes down from Krishna through the disciplic succession. This is the understanding that we get from our literature. This is the teaching that we get from Srila Prabhupada. The spiritual masters not to be trivialized as, well, in any way. We read in our literature that one has to surrender prapadyeta. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreyut. If one is serious about the ultimate goal of life, then one has to surrender to the spiritual. That asks quite a lot of the conditioned souls. We don't really want to surrender. We want independence. Otherwise, we have no need of coming to the material world. The material world is the place where we can pursue our dream of independence. But Krishna asks that this independence be surrendered, not in the sense that we no longer have independence, but that we use our independence by surrendering to Him. Otherwise, we'll surrender. We'll surrender to gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating. We'll surrender to our job. We'll surrender to our country. We'll surrender to our mind and wherever it wants to take us, surrender to our senses. And Prabhupada finally pointed out, you surrender it to death. So the surrender is Prabhupada even used the word demanded by Krishna. I almost cringed when I read that in the preface to the second edition of Bhagavad Gita, to the enlarged edition of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said that Krishna asks us and demands that we surrender. We sort of present Krishna consciousness in a little more softly, a little more digestibly. No, Krishna demands this. You must surrender. So that's already difficult, and then we're further asked to surrender to a human being, accepting him as Krishna's representative. And that may be still more difficult because we think that he's coming, he's like us, he's a man as we are. I'm subject to so many frailties, tendency to fall into illusion, tendency to make mistakes, imperfect senses, cheating propensity. Now I'm going to surrender to someone like that. So it asks a lot of us. Our process asks a lot of us. And yet we can deny that this is what our process is. We can't retool it or reimagine it to be something else. This is our process. And when we follow the process, then the result will be there. As we were hearing, enthusiasm, among other aspects. Because Krishna is very far away. And even our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, who's present in practically every aspect of our life, is also, in one sense, distant. So we get a reimagined Srila Prabhupada, who loved everyone and accepted everyone as they are, and was very gentle and loving with everyone, and never drove people past their limits by misunderstanding how much they could take, or by pushing harder than they could accept. And that's the Prabhupada that we like. But it's not the Prabhupada I ever met. He was, yes, very loving, very understanding, very much willing to stretch and adjust for the circumstances and the differences in culture. And yet, on the other side, demanding, intolerant, unwilling to compromise, heavy, cutting. I was mentioned as being cutting. Prabhupada was so cutting. He could cut you in pieces and then cut the pieces. He was so cutting. Sarcasm upon sarcasm. And yet and not everyone could take it. Some people left because he wouldn't compromise. Because he wouldn't, you know, and Prabhupada said everyone saw Prabhupada as a pure devotee and they all surrendered to him. No. In his days also, people, this is too much for me. I remember when they went to the moon and Prabhupada said that they didn't. And we had, it was like an exodus for a while. After that, like, this person's left, and this person's left, and this person's left. You know, science against the spiritual master, and the spiritual master against science. You know, they just, it was too much. Science is how we know what's real. And Prabhupada didn't go for it. Science is how we know what's real. Shastra is how we know what's real. And your science involves cheating. Involves imperfect senses. It involves a tendency to make mistakes. It involves cheating. And Prabhupada wouldn't budge. He wouldn't budge. He wouldn't compromise. Well, he said, well, maybe they went to Rahu, or maybe, you know, he'd give a little bit of a, you know, 2 millimeter landing place and some alternative explanation. But the bottom line was, they didn't go. And yet, we saw them go. It was on our television, in front of us. Broadcast on what we now know are television footage of tapes of the landing, not even a direct feed, but you know, they showed it all on the monitors, and your television stations shot the monitors. And now those tapes too are lost. Anyway, whatever arguments one might wish to make, it was too much. We have on one side what our very eyes show us and what we've been brought up to know. And then on the other side, we have what the spiritual master is saying. not everyone cast their vote for the spiritual master. But those that cast their vote the other way are unfortunate. An opportunity that one can't even imagine how fortunate they were. And what did they trade it in for? A job as a school teacher, insurance salesman, something. And a kind of dull existence, an existence without chanting Hare Krishna, an existence without prasadam, an existence without the association of devotees, an existence without the meaning provided by devotional service. And what kind of existence is that? So it's difficult for the conditioned soul to repose faith in the spiritual master and follow the directions of the spiritual master and trust the spiritual master. And yet, that is our process. That is our process. As long as the spiritual master himself follows his spiritual master, the process works. And we remain connected through this parampara system. And Krishna comes to us through the initiating spiritual master, through the instructing spiritual masters, through the association of devotees, through Prabhupada's presence in so many different ways, his books, his society. Everything is available to us. But in the editorial process, we can't edit out the spiritual master or, what's the word, diminish the importance of the spiritual master without changing the philosophy. And changing the philosophy, we cannot do. And therefore, such a ceremony as this is necessary. In Prabhupada's time also, Prabhupada made that point in New Vrindavan when he had a large gathering for his appearance day, and the New York Times and other media journalists came. And Prabhupada explained to them why this was being done. Because he could understand that to them, you know, why is a man being worshipped and given all this importance and so on. And Prabhupada explained that this is the process by which the disciples are connected with Krishna. And that it's not that the spiritual master is seeking praise or seeking gifts, but he's rendering a service to his spiritual master and training the disciples who are then to continue the process. So I'm trying to do that. I've been given more credit than I deserve. Kadamba Kanamaraj mentioned that one person makes so much of a difference. The real person who made most difference was Srila Prabhupada. And in my life also, so much of what I get credit for deserves credit to others. Fortunately, Krishna has sent me some very wonderful devotees to work with. Kadamba Kanamaraj pushed himself on me. Madhupati pushed himself on me. South Africa, Govardhan Prabhu, is so such a fortunate person for me to be working with. That was my condition for, really I hadn't visited South Africa very much for quite a number of years till I got back involved with DBT work in South Africa. And my condition was, I'll be the trustee, he'll be the manager. Because that one person, if the one person making such a difference had just been me, you wouldn't have seen much of a difference. You wouldn't have seen much of it. I could add some sincerity, I could add some ideas, but to give everything practical shape and to carry the vision forward, I knew that I could rely on or look toward Govardhan Prabhu. And now I look good for all the accomplishments of DBT Africa. But really, the credit doesn't go to me. In one sense, whatever we accomplish, the credit doesn't go to us. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham in the Bhagavad Gita. The vimudha atma, the fool, the bewildered soul, thinks the credit's mine. I'm the person who made it happen. Kartaham mukhimam. That's what he thinks. And that's, people think that. I made it happen. I was successful. I pulled it off. I. And really it's due to the modes of material nature, prakriti kriya mahanani, or from another angle of vision, it's due to Krishna's mercy, that Krishna has made something possible. Or our predecessors have made it possible. Or the combination of Krishna and our predecessors and our contemporaries and our assistants have made it possible. And Kartaham, again, beating my chest like King Kong, thinking that I made it all happen. This is mine. Well, it's Krishna, finally, who's the doer of everything. Karta, Shrashta, someplace there's a Vedic statement like that. You know that? He's the karta, he's the shashta, he's the overseer. Upadrashtanu mantacha, overseer and permitter. He makes everything happen. As he likes. If he doesn't like, it won't happen. Despite all of your credits. And if he likes, it'll happen, despite all of your shortcomings. Hare Krishna. So finally, our business is to glorify Krishna, that Krishna's really, if anyone's wonderful, Krishna's wonderful. Whatever is wonderful, what is that? Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam eva va tattare vava gacchatvam mamatejvamsasambhava. Whatever is wonderful, whatever is beautiful, whatever is powerful, whatever is exceptional, is all done by a spark of Krishna's power. Mamatejvamsasambhava. It's all made possible by a small spark of Krishna's power. Specifically in the context of the Sankirtan movement, everything is made possible by Krishna. Then he reinvigorates the spreading of Krishna consciousness by appearing again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then Srila Prabhupada comes, and this enormous diffusion of Krishna consciousness. And then we get our opportunity. In one sense, it's been made easy for us. Prabhupada, what Prabhupada had to do to introduce Krishna consciousness, and what he accomplished and the circumstances under which he accomplished it are a subject matter of epic proportions. Even this one, I'm staying in Bombay more these days, and I'm reminded that His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj is writing the history of the war in Bombay, Prabhupada's fight to establish Hare Krishna land, which was one aspect of Srila Prabhupada's career. If he'd done nothing else but that, it's the subject matter of an epic. And that was only one important, but only one aspect of his preaching career, which, when you think about it, that Prabhupada did everything in 10 years is astonishing. Astonishing that everything is within 10 years. I'm working on a book, writing it, by the time it's from writing to publication, it'll be 5 years. And Prabhupada did everything, including 60 books, in 10 years. So we're like little fireflies compared to Srila Prabhupada. And yet he's given us the opportunity to become great by serving the greatest. Prabhupada used that expression. That we know that we're small. We know that we're tiny. But when we serve the greatest, then in one sense we also become great. Everyone wants to be great. There's a certain aspiration everyone has to be great. But we want to be great independently. Or we want to be the greatest ourselves. Back in the, I guess it was the 60s, Muhammad Ali, that was his slogan, "I'm the greatest." So our slogan is that Krishna is the greatest. But we become great in relationship to the greatest. Prabhupada gave the example that you're riding on your bicycle, you're going at your little bicycle speed, but if you grab hold of the back of a lorry, as we sometimes see people do in this country, then you're going at lorry speed. Not because of your independent power, but because you've connected with a higher power. Or finally, in our case, the powerful, the personality of Godhead. So that process is enlivening because Krishna is the source of all life. Jivanam sarva-bhuteshu. He's the living force in all living beings. When we're connected with Krishna, then we get life. We get life. And when we look away from Krishna or we're disconnected from Krishna, then we lose we lose our life. The Shastra gives the example of the spark falling on water or falling on leaves or falling on earth. So if we fall into the mode of goodness, there's some little chance for the fire to be revived. If we fall in the mode of passion, then it's like falling on the earth. And if we fall to the mode of ignorance, it's like falling in the water, are practically extinguished. But by the chanting of Hare Krishna, by the association of devotees, by following the regulative principles, by hearing and chanting, our eternal spark, fiery nature, is revived. And as Prabhupada said, we return to our happy, normal condition. It's not, in one sense, extraordinary. It's our happy, normal condition. But in this world, it's extraordinary. You look so happy. You people all have bright faces. Now, that's normal. That's normal. But to be normal in this world is something extraordinary. So it's our good fortune to be able to participate in that glorious nature of Krishna, devotional service, to become, as mentioned, servants of the servant of the servant. And Prabhupada himself said, the more times you add servant, the higher your position. People think, if I become Prabhupada's servant, then, no. That's cheating. We're all servants of Srila Prabhupada. True. But we're servants of Prabhupada by becoming servants of the servants of the servants of the servants. And the more times you add servant, the more you're a servant of Srila Prabhupada. Or the more you're a servant of Krishna. Not the subtraction is the material process. We have one devotee, Tapan Mishra, who was in Kuwait, and he was preaching Krishna consciousness, at the same time working in a big company. And he had one Hindu colleague who could understand that this man is spreading Krishna consciousness. So he reported to the authorities that this man is spreading Krishna consciousness, so that this man would be deported, and when he's deported, I get to come up. Well, this is the materialistic mentality. The more links I can remove, the more obstacles, the more those who are higher than me can be pulled out of the picture, the quicker I go up. But our process is the opposite. The more I can become servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, the better my position. The better my position. Srila Prabhupada took that claim that he was servant of the servant of the servant and gave us that opportunity to become servant of the servant. 1,000 times the servant, Prabhupada said, of Krishna. I got gadgetized, and maybe I took a few notes. I think I've covered most of the things. Public consciousness. Very rightly, Swami Bhagavan Prabhu said that we're not meant to endear ourselves to the public at the cost of betraying the teachings that the spiritual master has given us. Cheap popularity doesn't matter in the long run. Krishna consciousness is our goal. My apologies to Hari Vilas for turning him into an editor. The family curse is upon you. Well, Prabhupada wrote me, I'm glad that you're a scrutinizing editor. The Gokuleshwara that angels have two wings, the right wing and the left wing. Allen Ginsberg complained that Prabhupada was so conservative. Because Mr. Ginsberg was used to gurus who were very liberal. But Prabhupada said, no, I'm not at all conservative. I'm so liberal. So both sides are there. Even politically, we're very hard to figure out, because on the one side, we have views that are totally liberal, politically speaking, and on the other side, totally conservative. We're in favor of capital punishment, strong government, all these things that are, that the liberals can't accommodate at all. It's like, makes them nervous, if not outraged. We're in favor of that. And on the other side, we're the most liberal in so many other ways. We're very liberal in our outlook. We don't believe in nationalism. We believe in everything that belongs to God, and these divisions of country and state are all nonsense. Patriotism is rubbish. So we're very leftist, and yet we're very rightist. Which means ultimately we don't give a damn about right or left. We just want to serve Krishna. So very, very nice. Tomorrow's program is our opportunity to become servants of the servant, become servants of Srila Prabhupada's servants. I always look forward to that. I don't know if I would have just come for this program, but for that program I have to come. So we look forward to that, and I'm always grateful for your participation in that program to please my God brothers and God sisters. As mentioned a couple of times, my present project is this book project, Vanity Karma, which is a commentary on the biblical book of Ecclesiastes, which is meant to be for outreach rather than to add to the number of very wonderful books meant for the benefit of our own community. My own expectations for it are somewhat modest. It's not really bestseller material. But if some serious people benefit by reading it, then if they come closer to Krishna consciousness, if they take this movement seriously, then I'll consider it a successful attempt. As Maharaj mentioned, we're going through some exercises or some trouble to figure out how you market things and how do you sell books in this world. Apart from our Sankirtan party, which is the best, publishers would die to have a Sankirtan party. But in addition to Sankirtan parties, what are the other things that you do to distribute books, to publish books in the trade or the normal channels? So we're going through that exercise. That's why I'm in Bombay these days. I'm working with another devotee whose efforts I get a lot of credit for. That's Yudhisthira Prabhu, disciple of Radhanath Maharaj in Bombay, who's the publisher of Back to God in India, and a very humble and capable devotee. And we're working on plans for that, along with another devotee, Gauranga Kishore, in America. So we've got a little team that's trying to push this forward. And we'll, as time goes on, we'll see what we can do. In different ways, some of you may want to participate. At least you can like the book on Facebook. In my yellow bag, I have propaganda about the book. We did a propaganda sheet for the ISKCON devotees, so you can all have a copy of that. You can, look, I don't think I have to like give it out like flowers, but you can keep it there and everyone can have copy and learn more about it. Ecclesiastes is a very interesting book because it does raise fundamental philosophical questions, or the most fundamental questions about our purpose on earth, about the nature of our existence, and perhaps doesn't answer them didn't answer them to my satisfaction. It was great at raising the questions. And disappointing, not only disappointing, once you raise the question so powerfully, if you don't answer them, then life is meaningless. Question is, what is the meaning of life? And the argument is given that it appears that life has no meaning. Worse than no meaning, it's contrary to sense. That it makes no sense would be bad enough, but it's contrary to sense. Everything is upside down and backwards. It's not that there's no pattern. There's a pattern. It's consistently messed up. So our life is frustrating. Our life is devoid of meaning. Our life is infected with absurdity. The book does a powerful job of raising all these issues. And if you're not satisfied with the sort of two words at the end that say, well, the upshot of all this is that we should love God and serve and follow His commandments. If that doesn't quite do it for you, then you're stuck with the power of all the other arguments unanswered. Unanswered. So, as Maharaj mentioned, I bring Bhagavad Gita into conversation, not literally I said you said, but into a sort of a dialogue in which the ideas of Ecclesiastes are pulled together with the ideas of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in such a way that I don't pussyfoot, I don't have, it's not my nature. So all the bad news is there, and I hope enough good news. So again, it's a contribution, not the greatest contribution. I can't claim that it's the most wonderful thing that's ever been done, or even that it's the best commentary on Ecclesiastes. But I think it will be a contribution, a useful contribution. And we try to do something to serve our predecessors. That's our principle. That's our principle. That if we can do something to satisfy our spiritual master, then when the spiritual master is pleased, yasya prasadad bhagavat prasad, then Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, our life is successful. And yasya prasada nagatir kuto. If we can't please our spiritual master, then we're nowhere. So I feel fortunate that we're all brought together to please our predecessors in the parampara, to please Srila Prabhupada and please Krishna. And let us continue on in this line and this spirit. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.